This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. When you look at American history, clearly, we're not a perfect people. I would argue we have the most perfect system that mankind has ever established. But the key to having a more perfect system is not only a more perfect system, but it's people with virtue. With virtue. People who embrace the idea of Americanism. People who embrace the Declaration and the Constitution. People who are proud of our history. History that allows for progress, maturation, course corrections. Many societies, in fact, the vast majority throughout mankind, governments or societies are created, and they never move off the dime because they don't have a constitution like we have, or they don't have principles like we have. And sometimes in our country, it's left to the subsequent generation to address things that the prior generation was unable to do for a variety of reasons. But there's one political party in the free world that has never changed, not since it was established. And that's the American Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has never embraced Americanism. The Democrat Party has never embraced the principles of the Declaration. The Democrat Party has never embraced the limits the Constitution places on power and the powerful. All the way back to Woodrow Wilson, one of the leading so-called progressives, in other words, American Marxists, even well before he became president or even thought about it, wrote extensively about the Declaration of Independence and dismissed it, trashed it. They did the same with the Constitution. Because if you believe in the Declaration of Independence, natural law, natural rights coming from God, it runs counter to the American Marxist ideology that's been with us really for 110 years. Actually, I would argue 130 years, late 1800s. All progressivism is the bastardization of Marxism with its customization and tailoring to the American system. But you cannot advance the cause of American Marxism, a.k.a. progressivism, without slowly but surely destroying the limits that are placed on government. Without slowly but surely destroying the Declaration's embrace of individualism and God-given unalienable rights. You have to substitute all that with man. That man makes the decisions. And of course, in every instance where that's the case, you have poverty, injustice, slavery, and genocide. Because liberty without virtue is exploited by evil people and evil ideologies who seek not justice, not equality, not peace, not harmony, but control. And this is the definition of the modern day and past Democrat Party. The Democrat Party was the party of slavery, lynching, and the Klan, and segregation. The Republican Party was founded in the 1850s to stop slavery. That's the only reason the Republican Party was founded. It was created from nothing. It was the abolitionist party. After the Civil War was over, the vast majority of the freed slaves registered as Republicans. They voted as Republicans, and they voted for Republicans. And many of them, after the presidency of Ulysses S. Grant, who sent the army into the South to try and destroy the Klan, then the Democrats took the House and cut off his funding. And the Klan grew, became an appendage of the Democrat Party, and vice versa. They still wouldn't accept the results of the Civil War. They moved to an entirely different tactic, segregation. That is, there is not to be any societal interconnection between the races. That the newly freed blacks under Lincoln, under Grant, under the Republicans, were to remain as chattel. Were not to have access to equal protection and due process as compelled by the 14th Amendment that was adopted in 1868. The Democrats resisted our founding principles, even after the Civil War, when a correction was made to how they were applied. A civil war against the Democrat Party. That's what it was. And so, right up until 1858, Brown versus Board of Education, from the late 1800s right up to 1858, another 80 years, the Democrat Party imposed its will on black people. That's correct. Wouldn't allow them to vote. Wouldn't allow them to drink from the same water fountains. Wouldn't allow them to use the same restrooms. Wouldn't allow them to drink from the same fountains. Sit in the same restaurants. Wouldn't allow any of it. That's the history, not of the Republican Party, quite the contrary. It's the history of the Democrat Party. It would eventually change. Even though Woodrow Wilson was a racist and a segregationist who resegregated the bureaucracy and the military after Theodore Roosevelt and Howard Taft had desegregated them, Woodrow Wilson required as a new form of federal application for jobs that photos accompany the applications, so blacks weren't hired. When he was president of Princeton University, Woodrow Wilson used to brag that not a single black person was accepted as a student at Princeton. And he embraced the whole eugenics movement, as did the entire Democrat Party. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Books are written about it. 60,000 people were sterilized against their will. What they called idiots, imbeciles, and colored people. You won't find any prominent Republican that supported that. In fact, they like to talk about Hitler over there at MSNBC, Joe Scarborough in particular. One of the leading Democrat lawyers wrote an entire book on the virtues of eugenics. You see, here's the problem. You can't create, man can't create a more perfect government. Forget about God. Remember what I said? They don't believe that. The progressives, a.k.a. the American Marxists, don't believe in any of that. Unalienable rights, the Declaration. Remember Obama used to trash the Declaration, skip the God part? I'm explaining this to you. So one of their prominent lawyers wrote an entire book on eugenics. Margaret Sanger supported eugenics, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and she was a favorite among the Klan in the South, where she was known to give speeches. Woodrow Wilson, Margaret Sanger, the Democrat Party, supported eugenics. That book I'm talking about became a favorite of a man who was sent to prison by the name of Adolf Hitler. That book by that Democrat lawyer was the first book Adolf Hitler had interpreted into German. And Adolf Hitler, well, he used to acknowledge that that book from America gave him the ideas about exterminating races to create a more perfect Aryan race. Just as the early American Marxists sought to create a more perfect population to accommodate their more perfect ideology. Of course, without the moral guidance of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The Democrat Party, I'm doing this for a reason, and I can't spend the entire time explaining it all. It's in my book, but I want to explain it just in my own words here. The Democrat Party in the 1930s and 40s was still a virulently racist and segregationist party. The Federal Housing Act would become one of the great accomplishments of the early New Deal era. It was the first major piece of New Deal legislation. I heard a liberal, even on my favorite cable network a few months ago, point to one of the great accomplishments of the Democrats, the FHA. What she didn't mention was that under Roosevelt and in the New Deal, the FHA created the whole notion of red lines that I discussed the other day. Specifically, black communities or intermixed communities with blacks were excluded from the subsidies to build lower income housing, or to subsidize mortgages so poor people could afford housing. And what the federal bureaucrats used to do is take these red markers and draw circles around these black communities and provide those to contractors, lenders, developers, and anything within those red circles were excluded from funding. That's where you get redline from. Comes out of the Democrat Party. Franklin Roosevelt received a bipartisan bill, some Democrats, all Republicans, from Congress that hit his desk. to finally outlaw the lynching of black people. A federal statute, if he had signed it. He refused to sign it in 1940. FDR would not sign the Anti-Lynching Act that was sent to him by Congress because he feared it would cost him votes in the South, just as Joe Biden fears the river to the sea crowd and refuses to speak out strongly and powerfully against anti-Semitism. I will explain why I'm getting to all this in a moment. The Civil Rights Movement. Civil Rights Movement wasn't a Democrat Party movement. It was a movement in the black Southern churches. That's where it started. Martin Luther King and many other preachers. That's where it started. The federal government had its own racist and segregationist policies that it was very slow to change. Talk about the 64 and 65 Civil Rights Acts, and Lyndon Johnson's giving credit for them. 1957, Dwight Eisenhower, his administration authored a Civil Rights Act that would have done primarily what the 64 Civil Rights Act did. But he was approached by a Democrat senator by the name of Lyndon Johnson, who was the majority leader of the Democrats in the Senate. And he told Eisenhower, if you don't take the teeth out of this bill, the enforcement mechanism, I'm going to kill it. Now stick with me. We're stopping at 57, but I'm moving forward to today. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professionals. I only have a minute this segment, but I want to carry it over after the bottom of the hour. I hope you'll stick with us. Very, very important, because I'm getting to a modern day point. And so I left you. It was 1957. Lyndon Johnson, who has never voted for a Civil Rights Act in his entire Senate career, was the Senate Majority Leader, was a through-and-through racist, was fond of using the N-word and used it all the time. But he wanted to run for president in 1960. Eisenhower's pushing this Civil Rights Bill with teeth, the predecessor to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Lyndon Johnson goes into his office and tells him, I will kill this bill with a filibuster if you don't take the teeth out. Months later, Eisenhower is forced to go along. Johnson tells his Southern segregationists to vote for it. He votes for it. We'll be right back.
Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, the great one.
The great one, Mark Levin.
Dial in now, 877-381-3811.
So in 1957, Lyndon Johnson, who wanted to go on to bigger things, like being president, he realized he had a very racist, segregationist record. In fact, second to none. So he manipulates the political process as the Senate Majority Leader and head of the Democrats. Eisenhower is forced to send this bill, or he gets nothing. The 1957 Civil Rights Bill. And in the Senate, he tells his racist buddies to vote for it. Many do, some don't. Because he said it's pointless. I went over to the White House and I basically killed the essentials. Now, long story short, obviously he wasn't the presidential nominee in 60. Kennedy was. And after Kennedy's assassination, Johnson was sworn in as president. But Johnson wanted a legacy, and even more than that, he wanted permanent power for his party. And he kind of dusts off what Eisenhower put together and what Everett Dirksen, the Republican leader in the Senate, had been working on, and promotes it for himself, the 1964 Civil Rights Act. His biographers point out, they didn't really believe in it. He didn't really like it. He didn't really support it. That he sicked the FBI on Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders. Tapped into their phones. But he supported it because he wanted to win an election on his own in 1964, and he needed the black vote. Sound familiar? Their media, the American media, like the American media today, although the American media today is obviously much more Marxist ideologically, but they were still in the tank for the Democrats. So they painted Johnson as this great white savior because they wanted him to be Barry Goldwater, who that back then they called Hitler. He was the Hitler of his day. Barry Goldwater truly had a record as a businessman, as a city councilman in Phoenix, as the basically the head of the Air Guard, which he created in what was the territory, Arizona, integrated the Guard, integrated his businesses. He was a member of the NAACP. He helped found the Urban League in Arizona, and look how they treat him, like he's Hitler. He made a mistake, in my view, voting against the 1964 Civil Rights, but it had absolutely nothing to do with race. He believed it would destroy the relationship between the states and the federal government. But his heart and his soul were clean. They were clear. They were pure. Not so with Lyndon Johnson. So guess who gets up to filibuster it? Robert Byrd, who would become the Democrat leader in the Senate. You know, they say he changed late in life. But it wasn't late in life when he became the Democrat leader in the Senate. It was 7 or 8 years later. Then we have the 1965 Civil Rights Act, which we popularly call the Voting Rights Act, which also the Democrats sought to filibuster. To modern day, 1972, a young guy by the name of Joe Biden wins the Senate seat against a very old Republican in Delaware by by 2,500 votes. Thanks to the unions and thanks to the black population. And how does he reward the latter? Immediately upon coming into the United States Senate, he befriends the men who filibustered the 64 and 65 acts, who had never voted for a single civil rights piece of legislation in their long Senate careers. He goes to the two Mississippi governors, senators, Eastland and Stennis. He goes to a senior Georgia senator by the name of Herman Talmadge. He goes to the man who led the filibuster in 64, who finished it by filibustering for 14 and a half hours, Robert Baird. He goes to all four of them and more. Why? He wants to stop integration through busing in Delaware. Because even though he relied heavily on the black vote in Delaware, the large majority of the population was white, and they wanted nothing to do in Delaware with integration of public schools. And that's where Joe Biden came down. As NBC News reporter once reported several years ago, Biden was not merely an observer encouraging the Southern racists to push legislation to end this integration. He was one of the authors of the legislation. And there are letters between Biden and Eastland, Biden and Stennis. And in fact, when Biden decided to run for president in 1988 and 1987, as he was campaigning in the South, he would make reference to an award he received from George Wallace. George Wallace liked Biden, and Biden liked George Wallace. You see, Biden is a loathsome chameleon of a politician. He's doing to the Jews today what he did to the blacks yesterday. He's doing to the Asian community today what he did to the blacks of yesterday. He's doing to the Latino communities on our border with illegal immigration, and not just from Central and South America, from communist China, Syria, Iran, you name it, what he did to the blacks of yesterday. You know what he's doing for the blacks of today? Absolutely nothing. Worse than nothing. He's now the George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse doors, preventing little black kids from going to schools outside of their communities or outside of their zip codes to other schools that are safer and more academic, where students come out more accomplished. Biden is standing in the schoolhouse doors. Biden is an old Democrat. Democrat of the 1800s. Race, ethnicity, religion are very, very important. Not because he believes in them. Because he uses them. Because he turns people against each other while pretending to do the opposite, like Lyndon Johnson. And Biden seeks to project his own history, his own immorality, his own racism, his own anti-Semitism on top of Donald Trump. And you can look at Donald Trump's entire life, long before he was president. He desegregated Mar-a-Lago. He desegregated a workforce that he inherited. He embraced all races and faiths. His daughter married a Jew, an Orthodox Jew. She converted. He didn't object. He embraced it, as he does his Jewish children. Unlike Biden, who wouldn't embrace his granddaughter until there was pressure. His granddaughter, sired in part by Hunter Biden. I'm trying to explain what we're dealing with here. Biden went to Arizona and Nevada for the purpose of race baiting, for the purpose of trying to convince Hispanic voters that he's their savior once again, and that another opponent this time, Not Robert Bork, not Clarence Thomas, not George H.W. Bush. No, this time Donald Trump, you see, is Hitler. This time Donald Trump is the racist and the segregationist and the anti-Semite. And Biden and his party are raising hundreds of millions of dollars, record sums of money, to try and overwhelm people with a lie. Because they know what every fascistic, Marxist, autocratic regime in the world has known. The lie becomes a perceived truth if you repeat it enough. And you just keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it into the people's public perceptions and into their own minds. We call it propaganda. And that's on top of the billions and billions of dollars of free support he gets from the corporate media that also support Biden and also were responsible for racism, segregation, and anti-Semitism for decades and decades and decades. It's in this context that I want you to understand why Biden now embraces the river to the sea crowd, the Islamists. Talk about the obliteration of the Jews. Why? Because he's made a calculation like FDR did when he wouldn't sign the anti-lynching legislation. That he has more to lose if he cannot bring the Islamists back into the Democrat Party base and get their vote than the Jews. It's that simple with Biden. That's how he sees things. He figures 60-70% of the Jews will vote for him no matter what he does. But the Islamists, no. You're either all in with the river to the sea crowd, or they've been told by Hamas, as memory tells us, their website, they've been told by CARE, they've been told by the Islamists, activists in our country and overseas, you keep pressuring Biden because he only cares about one thing, votes and power. And that's all he cares about. So I want you to listen to this, because every now and then, Joe shows a little bit more ankle. This is what Joe said last week in a radio interview, that the Yentas at The View never picked up. Jake Tapper never mentioned. Rachel Maddow never mentioned. None of them. None of them. And I want to give a hat tip to Red State. So take a listen to this. Go.
For example, you know, how many black communities are in a situation where they come from a circumstance where they're in difficulty, where the families are in real trouble, where you have people who, you know, how many, even those families that are really poor don't have any books in the house. The kids don't hear a whole lot of conversation.
So, poor black families, they don't have books in the house. And they don't have a whole lot of conversations. They don't have books in the house. They don't have a lot of conversations. Because they're poor black families. What does that mean? You know, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at slavery, and you look at those slave families, who were so close. It was so loving of each of their family members. Where the fathers and the mothers put their lives on the line to protect their children. Where the fathers would be brutalized, even murdered, while their wives were being molested. Where they were hanged on a big oak tree outside on the plantation. There's story after story after story. And there's Joe Biden, who opposed the integration of the public schools, who threw in with the racists, showing a little bit more ankle about his racism, his bigotry, his real mindset. The older he gets, he doesn't get smarter, he gets dumber. And he started out at a very low threshold.
Where the families are in real trouble, where you have people who, even those families that are really poor, don't have any books in the house, and kids don't hear a lot of conversation. It's a lot of conversation. A lot of conversation. Even during slavery, especially in black families. Poor people have conversations. Poor people look at books. Poor people read books, Joe. This is his attitude. It's the attitude of the Democrat Party bigwigs in Washington who run the party. This is their view of black communities. They're to be managed. They're to be corralled. They're to be fearful, scared to death of any Republican who runs for president. Same with the Jewish community. 4 out of the last 5 Republican candidates running for president as their party nominee were called Hitler by the Democrat Party. Hitler. That party will do anything for power. I'm not done. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. I asked black folks listening to this program, what does Joe Biden think happens in your home? You don't have any books? You don't have any discussions? What are you doing in your home? Staring at the ceiling? In all his years in Washington, D.C., I don't know that the man's ever actually visited a black home and a black family. I don't know. We heard from him how poor kids were just as bright and talented as white kids. Remember that one, Mr. Producer? Poor kids. First of all, there are poor white kids too, but it is a blatantly racist statement. This is what he thinks. This is what he believes. And so he goes into these churches and he goes into other places and he just starts screaming like George Wallace. Like the racist segregationists of the Old South at the tops of their lungs. But he wants you to believe that he's the white savior, when in fact he's the white bigot. More next hour. I'll be right back.
This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
America, Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811.
So the Democrat Party relies almost exclusively on stereotypes, bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, turning American against American while claiming to be the saviors of that which they burned down.
New York Times, Biden looks to shore up Latino support in visit to Nevada and Arizona. President Biden plans to visit Nevada and Arizona this week, which he just did, at least one of them, to champion his economic policies and attack Republicans on immigration and abortion, as he seeks to shore up a crucial but wavering Latino electorate in the two battleground states. Now, they campaign on abortion. Why is it, seriously, when as a proportionate number of the population, abortions in the black community, again, as a proportion of the population of the black community, far exceed that in the white community. So why are Democrats promoting it? Why are Democrats championing that? Could it be the same reason they championed eugenics 100 years earlier? They call it a choice. So it's not a baby, it's a choice. And then they say it's not ubiquitous enough, when in fact, there have been far more abortions since the Dobbs decisions than before. So what's the issue here, effectively? There are no issues, in the sense that people who want to get an abortion can get it paid for by organizations that receive federal funds and others. If their state bans a particular type or timing of an abortion, they can travel to another state, as people do for all medical procedures, by the way. So I don't know why this one's treated differently. People have cancer, they travel out of state. People have heart disease, sometimes they travel out of state. They're looking for specialists, they're looking for help. There's no massive burden as a result of that. None. So Biden had to look far and wide to find somebody who went into the gallery, wasn't a poor person, wasn't a minority person, was a woman who wanted abortion for, I think, health or medical reasons. She had to travel to another state, and that was the big issue. So she did travel to another state. She got the abortion, and I'm sitting here wondering, okay, that doesn't meet the propaganda that you're spewing. Somebody got an abortion in another state. That's the whole point about federalism. We have a death penalty in some states and not in other states. We have an income tax in most states, but not other states. We have prosecutors who prosecute in some cities and states, and we have prosecutors who coddle and don't prosecute in some cities and states. Mr. Biden will begin his trip to Reno, Nevada, where he plans to promote his economic agenda and denounce former President Trump over abortion rights. You understand he's not running on the truth. He's attacking Trump over abortion rights, so they have their list of hysterics that the demagogue uses, that he's being told to use over and over. They've raising hundreds of millions of dollars to brainwash and scare the crap out of people. And I would ask Latino American citizens, are you better off today than you were under Trump? Is it easier to buy food, to pay utility bills, to acquire even a used vehicle, let alone a new vehicle? Is it easier today to get a job? Seriously, a good paying job? What about inflation? How's that going? Ask yourselves how life is under the Biden regime, not how Biden says it is, because he says it's spectacular, that the American people are just too stupid. They don't understand. They don't accept the fact that Biden is their savior. The trip will seek to turn what polls have shown to be three of Mr. Biden's biggest weaknesses: the economy, immigration, and slipping support among Latinos. Now, I would ask folks in the Latino community, when has Biden even bothered to talk to people in the Latino community? He won't even go to the southern border where the action is, the illegal immigration. Look what's happening to all people there, especially Latinos who are being sold into sex slavery, child slavery, labor slavery,
overwhelmingly Hispanic Americans and others. Hispanics coming from other parts of the world, as well as other people coming from all parts of the world. What exactly has Biden done for the Latino community since he breaks us into ethnic groups and religious groups? What exactly has Biden done for the black community? I want to know. What exactly has Biden done for women in this country? What is it? Don't tell me he's protected abortion. You don't have to protect abortion. You get it virtually anywhere in this country. And if it's not at a clinic in your backyard, you cross the border and you go to another clinic. What exactly? Biden is running a campaign on lies, on fear-mongering, just like the senators from the old South 100 years ago. He's a bigot. He's a racist. He's an anti-Semite. He's playing into stereotypes. That's why when Donald Trump called out what Biden was doing to the Jewish people here, not defending them against rabid anti-Semitism, not defending and supporting the only Jewish state in the world in Israel, that's why they jumped all over Trump. Because the truth cannot be let out. The truth cannot be said. It cannot be said. If you're black, you can't challenge Biden. What did he say? What's that guy's name? God, Charlemagne. What is his name? Charlemagne the God. What did he tell him? What's that? You ain't black if you don't vote for Biden. What the hell is that? It's racist. That's what that is. Now, why is he going to help the Latino community for help? Because he's stereotyping them. Americans who are Latino, they want safe communities too. Americans who are Latino do not support open borders. They don't support the drug cartels. They don't support the coyotes enslaving people. They don't support the drugs, the fentanyl going into their communities as well. It's not just a suburban thing. It's a nationwide thing. Something we all now share in every part of the country. Latinos want clean neighborhoods. They don't want people coming across and defecating in the streets. Latinos want good schools. Latinos want clean parks, recreation centers. They don't want people coming across the border illegally. You see, but Joe Biden has a stereotype. And that, if you're from Peru, if you're from Mexico, if you're from Cuba, Venezuela, if you're from any of these places, I know it's Venezuela, I'm doing Bernie Sanders. You're all the same. That's it. You know, it's interesting. I've talked about this before. In the 1970s, Richard Nixon was looking for a way to create an ethnic group to sort of counterbalance the black population, black groups and civil rights groups and so forth. And so the census created this whole idea of quote unquote Hispanic Americans. Because if you ask somebody from Peru and Honduras and Guatemala, Salvador and Nicaragua, they don't view themselves as Hispanic Americans. He's a Nicaraguan. He's a Peruvian and so forth and so on. So the government created that nomenclature. I'm telling you the truth. And the census used it. It's like African Americans. Arthur Schlesinger Jr. was a big liberal from Harvard. Very close advisor to John Kennedy. Wrote several of his speeches. You know, a real historian, not like this Beschloss clown. He writes in his book, The Disunity of America, or Disuniting America. Great book. He said this idea of African American, for many of black people in this country, has no connection whatsoever. Because every black person in this country, their ancestry is not African. Some of it's Caribbean. Some of it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But these nomenclatures are created. They're created. Not for the
benefit of the people who fit into the group or the nomenclature, for the benefit of the government, and even more precisely, the Democrat Party. You ain't black, you see, if you don't vote for Biden. Trump says, why would any Jewish person vote for the Democrats? Look what they're doing with Israel. Look what they're doing. They're not defending Jews here. Say Democrats in the Jewish Party, like Schumer, like Dana Bash. Oh, my goodness. That's the disloyalty trope. What? You an idiot? He didn't say you're disloyal to the country. See, they put words in your mouth. They twist things in order to conceal what they're doing. So there's Biden. Where is he going? He's going to Arizona, Nevada. To do what? To scare the crap out of people from Central and South America ancestries and heritages. That's what he's there. He's not going to run on the border. He's not going to run on security in our communities. He's not going to run on prices at grocery stores, utility prices. He's not going to run on any of that because he's destroyed all that. He's going to tell them, do you remember what Trump said in 1974? And, you know, that sort of thing. And so I asked people all across America, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, whomever you are, wherever you're from, are you going to be played by Joe Biden? Joe Biden's using the tactics of totalitarian autocratic leaders around the world, of totalitarian autocratic bigots from 100 years ago in our own country. Are you going to be played by this guy? You think our country is safer? You know it's not. You think your neighborhoods are cleaner and safer? You know they're not. You know people are coming across the border, Venezuela gangs. If you're Venezuelan, according to Joe Biden, you all think alike and you are alike. No, you're not. MS-13 gangs, they're coming across the border. Nobody cares if they're Hispanic or what their faith is. These are dangerous people. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
I'm spending a lot of time on this because this is the heart and soul of not only the Democrat Party since it was burped into existence, but it is the campaign strategy of the Democrat Party, as it always is. So I'm spending time on this so you're informed, so you're aware, so you can pass the word to other people, so tens of millions of people understand exactly what's taking place, because the barrage is going to get worse, these people are going to get desperate, and the Democrat Party, their media, are going to become even further unhinged. And plus, he's going to have $1 billion to spend to try and brainwash the American people that he's great and that everybody else is a racist and a bigot, when in fact it's him. One of the great prosecutors at the Nuremberg trials after World War II, when a finger was pointed at him by one of the opposing counsel,
He said words which are very simple, but as a kid when I read it, I never forgot it. He said, Mr. Producer, when you're pointing a finger at me, you're pointing three fingers at yourself. When you're pointing a finger at me, you're pointing three fingers at yourself. There was a piece written, I'm doing this by memory, I think it was in 2020. During the break, I've been desperately looking for it, but I couldn't find it. I posted it about a month ago on my social sites. And it was written by a journalist who'd covered Joe Biden for decades. And she was writing about Joe Biden in his latest presidential run in 2020, who he really is. And she wrote of him fairly critically, but you could tell very earnestly. In other words, it wasn't an intended hit job. Among the people she spoke to was a longtime Senate Hill staffer to Joe Biden, who worked very, very closely with Biden. I don't know if it was a former chief of staff or somebody who was like his foreign policy director or whatever it was, but it was a senior person. And it sticks in my mind because she asked him, why is Joe Biden an outspoken, not that he is actually, but an outspoken defender of Israel? And he basically said, Biden doesn't care really about Israel. He needs the Jewish vote. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said, or it wouldn't have stuck in my mind. And it's evident today. He sees that in these battleground states, he's more concerned about the Islamist river to the sea, Dearborn, Michigan type voters than he is about the Jewish community. Because as I said, when you have a Chuck Schumer on your staff and Antony Blinken at the New York Times, a Thomas Friedman at CNN, a Dana Bash, a Jake Tapper, a Wolf Blitzer at MSNBC, and Andrea Mitchell and their ilk, that is leftists, their ilk. You can just assume you'll get coverage. And that's one of the things that Schumer's speech was so shockingly appalling about. The terrorists in the Middle East heard Schumer. He undermined Israel and their commander-in-chief, so they're going to wait him out. That's their view. Biden has been a special pleader for the terrorists, using the Hamas information that he knows is false, building a port with the help of Qatar, which is the funder of terrorists, and on and on and on, and here in our own country. In our own country, he won't speak out against anti-Semitism. Oh, he's here and there said just enough to say, but I said this 8 months ago. But he's done nothing. Just as he's done nothing for the black community, the Hispanic community, the Asian community, and all the communities that they stereotype. I'll be right back.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
This is where liberalism ends and liberty begins. The Mark Levin Show at 877-381-3811.
All right. Elisa Farah Griffin is a grifter. She's earned her cred with the left, with the media, and a seat on The View by stabbing people in the back, including family members and President Trump. She was a top communication person for Trump in the White House and then moved over to Vice President Pence. And so now she's on The View. She is the conservative monkey, if you will, that they have there, who will stay in her. She is the foil who's supposed to represent you and me. She doesn't represent anybody but herself. As I said, she's a grifter. And this is how she decided to make it, and this is why she's on The View. She's on The View not just because she's a Trump hater, but because she's a nitwit who gives a bad name to conservatives and Republicans. I put out a tweet. Apparently, everybody reads my tweets, which is a good thing. The other day, and I said, you know what? And I said it on the air. Where are the Republican billionaires who can help give a loan to Donald Trump so he doesn't have to lose all his properties? And of course, that was considered controversial. No, it really wasn't. A couple of these very strange websites with radical left-wing Democrats running them and funding them. Here's what they do. They'll take some of the comments from the radical leftists. And so they'll put the tweet, not just me, they do this to everybody. And then they'll say, Mark Levin has been schooled. Do you see that, Mr. Producer? Mark Levin is ripped. So you get all these commenters. Some of them are great. Some of them are nuts. So they find the nuttiest of the bunch. This is pseudo news. They take the post, in this case me. Then under it, they put some of the nuts who comment. They put a headline to get hits, because that's how they grift. That's how they get paid. And so I was schooled. Schooled by whom? I don't know who these people are. Nobody does. Could be some jerk in his basement in a t-shirt that hasn't charged for 15 days, but he's schooled because, you see, he was on the computer or the laptop or iPhone or whatever it is and posted a comment. Then it's picked up by the Daily Bestiality, the Huntington Compost, MSNLSD. Then it works its way onto The View. Or it works its way to Chris Cuomo, the disgraced former host at CNN. What is with that family, Mr. Producer? It's a family of perverts and buffoons. Chris Cuomo, he tweets and he says, and I'm paraphrasing, people send me this stuff. I don't read the comments. Well, why doesn't Mark put his millions where his mouth is or something like that, right, Rich? And then Elisa Farah Griffin, a.k.a. Elisa Farah Grifter, she wants to comment because she did her research. She looked on the internet. You know what she found out? Let's listen, because you have Sonny Halston, who, by the way, ancestors owned slaves. And she says, I'm still for reparations. Well, why doesn't she start by paying some? Sonny Halston, are you going to pay any reparations? You have to wait for the government? You live in a really big mansion. You're making a lot of money being a jackass on the Yenta show with The Views. Have you contributed one nickel to reparations? Did you start a reparations foundation? These people are pathetic. But let's listen to what took place. Cut one, go.
There is no way anybody is going to lend money to him. And I can't wait to see the chains on Trump Tower, actually.
All right, slow down now. Somebody already did lend him money, moron. But listen to her. I can't wait to see the chains on Trump Tower. These are fascistic, totalitarian a mindset. It's what it is, a fascistic, totalitarian mindset. She can't wait for Donald Trump's property to be stolen from him. You wonder why we have problems in this country? Because of clowns like Sonny Hostin, or whatever the hell her name is. Go ahead.
Like, I'm excited.
There's the clapping seals. Ooh, yes, yes, still is bland. Still is, yes, 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 yes. Sick bastards. That's right, Sonny. You're a sick bastard. Can't wait to see that you... I don't even say that about our opponents. Do you, Mr. Producer? I can't wait to see them steal his property. I can't wait to see him imprisoned. These are cold-blooded, heartless, radical kooks who live in the lap of luxury, who sit in that green room, chow down all the goodies. They go into the makeup room to make them look pretty. They go out there and they sound like nasty, stupid people. And that's what they are, all five of them. Nasty, stupid people. And of course, in Sonny Hostin's case, her bloodline leaves to slave owners. But I still support reparations. You support them? Well, why don't you start paying them? What is that all about? Anyway, go ahead.
Some of these folks over at Fox News are raging that billionaires are not stepping up to give the money to Trump.
And all right, let's stop. First of all, dimwit, this would be grifter. Some people at Fox News are raging that billionaires are not. It's me. It's not Fox News Corporation. It's not other people. It was me. It was a post. And I'm not raging about it. I wondered why they're not stepping up. No wonder you can never get your facts straight. Hey, and you know what? And some people at Fox News, they're raging over there about why billionaires won't give them money. What's that all about? And she did research on this? Let's see. Go ahead.
Was Mark Levin, somebody who refers to himself as the great one, so that kind of tells
Stop.
You all you need
Do
to
Do I ever refer to myself as the great one, Rich? Ever? I refer to myself jokingly, in a self-deprecating way, as the great big one. Because I've been overweight, and now I'm not, by the way. I don't refer to myself as the great one. Hannity refers to me as the great one, which is perfectly fine. So she's lied twice, and she hasn't even finished her sentence. Go ahead.
Him, who has a reported net worth of $50 million, but he's not ponying
who
up.
Does?
Yeah, any donations to Donald Trump.
Money?
The right-wing media empire. And then Fox News, they're still paying off an $800 million settlement with Dominion because they lied for Trump about the election.
Yeah, so
he's kind of
good.
Hurt people on both sides.
What is... Okay, let's unravel the spaghetti that is the brain in Elisa Farah Grifter. Where did she get that figure that I'm worth $50 million? So, Mr. Producer, you looked, right? It's some website that tells you what celebrities are worth. I'm not worth $50 million. Where did they get that from? Well, they don't have any citations. They're not talking to my accountants. They're not talking to my wife. We're looking at each other. Where does this $50 million come from? But I'm not worth $50 million. Maybe I'm worth more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not worth $50 million. So that's lie number three. Where did she get it from? The internet. Because she's an idiot. But she wanted to get in there and speak fast like Chris Matthews. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And one of them was Mark Levin, somebody who refers to himself as the great one. Never have. Not once. So the kind of tells you all you need to know about him, who hasn't reported net worth, has a reported net worth of $50 million, but he's not ponying up. Sonny Hostin supports reparations. He's not ponying up. Talking about $500 million. So she also plagiarizes from low IQ Chris Cuomo of the Cuomo crime syndicate and perversion syndicate. Right, Andrew? Nonetheless, five flat-out lies in one run-on sentence. Now, when Elisa Farah Grifter got married, I used to know her father, fantastic guy, Joe Farah. Just terrific. Great patriot. I don't keep in touch with everybody like I used to. I just don't have the time. And nor do they. He refused to go to her wedding, 2022, because he was repulsed by what she had turned into and what she had done. Now, we don't have that situation as far as I know. Never had it with my father and mother. She's a backstabber. She's a climber. She's gotten to where she wants to, the View. Where you have to sell your soul if you're a conservative Republican. It's like MSNBC. You have to be a complete sellout and become a dummy, a puppet for the Democrat Party and their mouthpieces. That's why Joe Scarborough has lost all credibility that he ever had. That's why Liz Cheney, Dizzy Lizzy, same thing. And they're all of the same ilk. And they share the same immorality and stupidity as the Sonny Houstons and the Joy Behars and the other. So I made $50 million from right-wing media, Mr. Producer. I think Westwood One would be surprised to hear that they're right-wing and that I make $50 million. I think The Blaze would be surprised that I make $50 million. I know Fox would be surprised. Simon & Schuster would be surprised. I make good money because I break my ass, because I work hard. People don't write my lines for me. They don't write my books for me. They don't spend their weekends researching and thinking and reading. I could never be on The View because I'd really have to dumb down about 50 IQ points to do it. Elisa Farag Grifter is a lowlife. That's what she is. You know lowlifes throughout your lives. You've dealt with them. You've had to deal with them. And she wants to pass judgment on me? Seriously, what has she ever done with her life? What has she ever said that matters? What has she ever done that matters? Let me tell you something. Throughout my life, I've worked for a number of very important people, both in the private sector and in government. In the Reagan administration, for multiple cabinet secretaries. I've never written a word. I've never said a thing about any of them that would harm their reputations or their character and that would benefit me and enrich me. Not once. I've seen people do it. And everyone who's done it has had to lie. Every damn one of them. Every damn one of them has had to lie and twist and spin. And every damn one of them is rewarded by the left-wing media. Elisa Farag Grifter, you're a punk. And you'll always be a punk. And don't worry about what I earn. Get the hell off the internet and educate yourself. It's about time. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Oh, yeah. Here we go. This will energize you. All right, I better go here. We'll do it next hour.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion-dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Senator Katie Britt of Alabama will be on the program in about 15 minutes. Just so you know, most of the people who come on the program ask to come on the program, right, Mr. Producer? And we're more than happy to accommodate those who we support and appreciate. Now, of course, she came under a withering attack with more lies about her by CNN, Wolf Blitzer, and others. Why? Because she dared to speak out and give the speech against Biden's State of the Union. You're just not allowed to. I'll give you another example. Joy Behar. Joy Behar is an autocrat. And she demands fealty to her views. And listen to this. I'll prove it to you. Here she is. They've got this woman, Christine Blasey Ford. Remember her? Remember the outrageous allegation she made against Kavanaugh? Remember the guy who she said was, you know, a witness to what she had experienced and so forth? And he said, I never witnessed any of this. Just the whole damn thing. Well, she has a book out now. She has a book out now? Oh, yes, yes. See, none of these people write books about philosophy or economics, about politics. No, about their experiences, many of which they have created. And so there she is. And it'll be pushed, as it is in The View, and it'll be pushed by Meet the Press and Deface the Nation, and it'll be pushed by the pubic broadcasting system. It'll be pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. She'll get number one on the New York Slimes bestseller list. She'll get rich from the whole thing. Here we go. Cut two. Go.
Really fast, I just was wondering, those letters that you got, what was the percentage of men writing to you?
So there were probably 10% men. So we had bins called male,
so
male.
So stop a second. Male, male. So 10% men criticizing her. And you know that Joy Behar was hoping it was 90% men so she could attack men. The View. The View of what? Five left-wing kooks? All with the same genitalia? Well, I don't mean the same, but the same type of genitalia, Mr. Producer. And what does Joy have to say about that? Go.
What men need to understand is that they have to step up and help us. Mm-hmm. We can't do this ourselves. I noticed that a lot. I watched while people were clapping. Some of the men did not clap in this audience.
Oh, some of the men. Don't you understand? You're to clap and clap. You have to clap and clap in unison. And I invented the description of audiences clapping as clapping sails. You must sit there like clapping sails. When you see the laugh sign, you laugh. When you see the clapping sign, you clap. You didn't clap, all of you mouths. Well, it must be fun going to that show. Really.
admixture of Marxists, Islamists, and beaten down men. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, let's get into this. We have limited time now. And I have to make some choices because some of this stuff's really good. Let me start here. Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, has been doing a great job for this country on various cable channels, explaining how economics and finance work to ideological economic illiterates with low IQs, like host Laura Coates at the Communist News Network. Hat tip the Blaze. Cut three, go.
What a great message to send out all around the world. Take a claim where there was no monies lost. There was no fraud here in the context of actually people losing money. Deutsche Bank, who made the loan, was made whole. And let's make a penalty of $500 million against a crime, apparently, where no monies were lost. Great message for New York. Great message for America. Bring your capital because we'll protect your property. I think that was a statement that would be much better made sometime in Venezuela. I'm not kidding. That's a scary, scary message. And by the way, there are no such thing as half a billion dollar bonds. There are no $500 million bonds. Never been done before. Never. This law has never been applied. Forget about Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. Everything to do about America and the New York brand. I love this state. My children live here. A horrible message to everybody around the world watching this. Absolutely horrific.
Well, wait, Kevin. Hold on a second.
Kevin, wait. Wait a minute. I got to interject here. I don't know a damn thing. But I didn't bring you here to say that. I brought you here to trash Trump. And by the way, that's why Sunny Halston is such a Castro-like figure. She can't wait to see the chains put up at Trump Tower. She hasn't created a damn thing. She hasn't put a brick on top of a brick anywhere in New York. She lives off the hard work of everybody else, including Donald Trump. And this is how Sunny Halston conducts herself. And now here we are on CNN. What is the purpose of CNN? Can somebody please tell me? Go ahead.
Hold on a second. I have a wonderful voice, and it won't be talked over. Kevin O'Leary, I would like to hear what you have to say.
This is not America.
What are you doing?
It's not America,
but it is the Laura Coates live show, and I am speaking. So that will be the rule, not Venezuela,
not
nowhere else. Fine, but it's Laura Coates live. And hello, my name is Laura Coates.
Hello, my name is Laura Coates. Really? Well, you shouldn't be very proud. You're making an ass out of yourself. Don't shout over me. You think this is The View? Don't shout over me. You think it's The Morning Joe? Don't shout over me. You clap when I speak. My name is Laura Coates. Quiet when I speak. It's Laura Coates live. Ah, shut up, you nitwit. What are you even doing on TV? Seriously. Tony Bobulinski. I really like this guy. He doesn't take any crap from the Democrats and the other crooks. The Biden family dealings. Cut five, go.
I want to be crystal clear. From my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn, it is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. His family's foreign influence peddling operation from China to Ukraine and elsewhere sold out to foreign actors who are seeking to gain influence and access to Joe Biden and the United States government. Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an active, aware enabler who met with business associates such as myself to further the business, despite being buffered by a complex scheme to maintain plausible deniability. I ask this big question. If there's no evidence of corruption here today, if Joe's conduct and the conduct of his family were fully legal and proper, then why are they so dishonest about it? Not just slight misrepresentations of fact, but deep untruths about the entire corrupt enterprise.
It's a good question. One that a special counsel should be asking Joe under oath. But he's an imbecile. We can't investigate him. We need him to get elected president, where we need an imbecile. Cut six, go.
Here's just one egregious example of Hunter's perjury. He lied to the committee on important details concerning his money demands and threats to CFC in text messages on July 30th and 31st, 2017. He leveraged his father's presence next to him in that infamous text to strong-arm CFC to paying Hunter immediately. Jim Biden also lied extensively throughout his transcribed interview on February 21st and perjured himself. An example of that, on page 100 of his transcript, Jim is asked specifically, do you recall having a meeting with Hunter Biden, Tony Bobulinski, and Joe Biden? Jim's response, absolutely not. The committee was so shocked by his perjury that they asked him the same question multiple times. Each time he denied meeting with me and Joe Biden. After the committee showed him text messages confirming that I met with Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Jim Biden at the Beverly Hilton in May 2017, Jim Biden, with a former U.S. attorney lawyer sitting next to him, still denied that meeting took place. Hunter Biden, in his own transcribed interview, confirmed that that meeting took place. Hunter confirmed his uncle perjured himself in front of this committee.
We're going to sneak in one more, Mr. Producer, because this is really good. Cut seven, go.
The same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies. Hunter Biden's defense attorney, Abby Lowell, weaponizes letters to Congress to try to smear my name.
Mr. Chairman,
shut up, Raskin. Let somebody else speak, you creep. Go ahead.
Save his powerfully connected client and his father. I challenge Mr. Lowell to make those claims on national television so he can be held accountable for his lies. Prior to my successful business career, I was an officer in the United States Navy. At Navy's elite Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, I later served as the command's chief technology officer.
Proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the...
Okay. Am I supposed to say it's my time, Mr. Raskin?
Yeah. But please, Mr. Bobulinski, please.
Okay.
Come to order. Mr. Bobulinski, please proceed.
Okay.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the minority.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, save his time, but he called members of this committee liars, and I just want to know whether the order and decorum requirements of House Rule 11 apply to witnesses appearing before the committee.
No, you're a liar. He's telling the truth. He's under oath, penalty of perjury. And you're a liar, you puke. That's all you ever do. You're a liar. That's the truth. They would never want me testifying up there, Mr. Producer. Never, ever. Because I would spend my entire time calling out every one of these punk bastards. Every damn one of them. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
It's a pleasure to have our friend Senator Katie. That's what we ought to call you, Senator Britt. Senator Katie, you're such a nice person. Come out of Alabama. You had a great response to Biden's State of Confusion speech. And you see how the media hate anybody who dares to challenge the narrative, Biden, their ideology. Have you ever had anything happen like that before in your life?
You know, I have learned that when you are over the target, you take on flack. And so that is how I know that we hit it head on. And I have told a number of people, just like I said in my remarks, we need everyone in this nation to step up and to get in the arena. And you know what? When you get in the arena, you take arrows. But it is worth it when you are fighting for something you believe in, when you are fighting for the country we know and love, when you are fighting for the next generation. That's something I am willing to do every day and will continue to do and be proud to do it.
You're backing a law now. Tell people about it and tell people why you're backing this law and why you're promoting it right now.
Well, Mark, I think you have seen the disaster that has occurred at this border at the hands of Joe Biden. In his first 100 days of his presidency, I mean, minutes after taking office, he said, we are going to halt construction of the border wall. We are going to stop deportations. And he promised amnesty to millions who are here illegally. We know those things act as a magnet for people to come here. Then, as if that weren't enough, in his first 100 days, he issued 94 executive orders. The disaster that we are seeing at the border right now is lays at no one's feet but Joe Biden's. He inherited the most secure border of all time. President Trump gave our country the safety and security of a secure border, and we've seen what Joe Biden has done with it. So one of the things that we've seen in that is obviously his abuse of parole power. You saw with President Trump and even Obama before him that they used the presidential parole authority to the tune of average about 5,600 people a year, paroling them into this country. We have seen Senator Lindsey Graham has dug into this, both obviously in his role in judiciary and appropriations, but President Biden has used that authority to parole on average 1 million people a year. As part of that, obviously, he uses this blanket parole authority, the CHNV program, and we have seen that take the lives of too many innocent Americans. So whether we're looking at fentanyl poisonings or brutal deaths, rapes, among other things, we know what is at stake, and it's the safety and security of Americans. So I was very proud to come together, obviously looking at all of these things and thinking, how can we return some order? How can we return law and order for the people? We had Representative Collins from Georgia who brought this forward, the Laken-Riley Act, brought it forward in the House. It passed actually with all of Republican support, Mark, and even several Democrats came to the table because they understand what's at stake. So I have joined with Senator Ted Budd, one of my freshman colleagues, and we have brought a Senate companion. So the Laken-Riley Act, what it would do is obviously if someone who is here illegally commits theft or burglary, which we know that her murderer, Laken-Riley's murderer, did, it would immediately allow ICE to both detain and deport that individual. It would also allow state's attorneys general to be able to make sure that they're able to force the Department of Homeland Security and others to enforce the law. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to do that until we get President Trump back in office. Obviously, we're going to elect him in November, get him back in office in January, return some law and order to this. But until then, we're going to have to fight with every tool in our toolbox to keep Americans safe.
Is this the sort of thing Schumer will bring to the floor, or he'll hold it off the floor because he'll be concerned more about the political embarrassment to Biden?
Mark, I don't think he'll bring it to the floor. You had us try to live. You see that? Live, you see it. And then Ted Budd is down there doing it, and they blocked it. They blocked it. And it shows they're not serious about actually securing the border. They are more interested in facilitating this mass migration. They are more interested in looking at voting blocks in different sections of this country than they are actually putting Americans first. So we're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to try to get it attached as an amendment to the pieces of legislation that are moving this week, because we believe in it, and we believe in making sure that we're doing everything in our power to keep Americans safe. And to me, this is common sense, Mark, don't you think? I mean, if you if you have committed a crime here and you are here illegally to start with, detaining and deporting you should obviously be a bare minimum. But you think about this administration, Mark, think about it. So we've got obviously with ICE, they are always reluctant to do what they need to do and support our courageous ICE officers. We have about 6.3 million people on the non-detained docket. Of that, we have at least 1.3 million on the non-detained docket of ICE that have been given their due process. So we should all be able to agree, given their due process and issued their final orders of removal. And Mark, they won't even do what it takes to remove those individuals from this country.
They're violating existing law, and they're doing it with impunity. We're with Senator Katie Britt of Alabama. Senator, when we come back after the break,
I want your comments on what the Biden administration, Schumer, and the Democrats generally are doing now to the state of Israel. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
We have a few minutes left with Senator Katie Britt. We want to thank you, Senator. I have an article here that the United States has changed its position on Hamas from defeating Hamas to degrading Hamas. Now, how degrading is that to all the rest of us, Senator?
It is absolutely and totally unacceptable. I mean, when you look at what happened last week, when you see the leader of the United States Senate go to the floor and demand a regime change in the shining democracy that we have in the Middle East and one of our greatest allies, it is absolutely unacceptable and it's despicable. The only regime change that we should be demanding as a nation is for Hamas to be permanently removed from Gaza. And I cannot even begin to wrap my head around this strategic blunder that both Schumer and then Biden layering on top of what they have done to Israel, undermining them. They should be supporting them. They should be out there on the Senate floor demanding Hamas return every single hostage. Let's us not forget that we have 130 hostages there, five of which are Americans. Do you think that every time they get out there and they undermine Israel, that puts them in a stronger position to negotiate with Hamas? Absolutely not. We need to say thank you for eliminating this threat. Please continue, finish your work. We want to obviously make sure that every innocent life that can possibly be spared is, but we have to eliminate Hamas. There is no way that we can win peace if we don't win the war. And I think it's totally unacceptable for America to turn its back on its ally. And I am here to tell you that we, that I, that others in the United States Senate stand firmly shoulder to shoulder with Israel.
Now, apparently you were in a discussion of sorts with the Prime Minister of Israel today, correct?
Yes. He zoomed in to our Republican conference policy meeting today. We had a great conversation with him. You know, he focused on the work almost being finished. He talked about, obviously, dismantling every single battalion, you know, talked about destroying their underground infrastructure, and talked about why, you know, going into Rafah is so essential, that we cannot win the war. They cannot win the war without going into Rafah. He equated it essentially to if we had said at World War II, you know what, we will eliminate the Nazis everywhere, but we're going to leave the ones in Berlin. We're going to leave those there, and we're going to keep moving. It's just absolutely unacceptable. And he made the point that Israel's victory is our victory. And we talked thoroughly about how to deal with Iran. I mean, the best way to deal with Iran is standing strong with our greatest ally, Israel, and then also making sure that we do everything possible to make sure that they do not get nuclear weapons in their hand. Can you imagine this conflict as we have Iran's proxies carrying these things out if they had that? And I want to say this, Mark, I am disgusted that when you look at what's happening, you look at this administration, the Biden administration, abandoning the Pompeo Doctrine, abandoning that. So they are, you know, at the same time we see last week them waiving sanctions on Iran, they are putting sanctions on Israelis. And I think that is the last thing that we need to be doing.
And they're funding Iran directly and indirectly, which means they're funding all these terrorist groups. And Israel's getting bogged down. It's the only country with the only leader on the face of the earth who has the guts and the wisdom to figure out how to stop Iran from getting nukes. Iran's going to get nukes on Biden's watch. Nobody's doing a damn thing about it. And other than a handful of us, nobody's even talking about it, Senator.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. And that is why we have to raise our voices louder than ever. Let's look back to President Trump. He was the most pro-Israel president we have ever had. You look at the Abraham Accords, you look at all of the different things you do, and then look at the stark contrast to now. So we look at Iran knowing that they're the largest state sponsor of terrorism. We know they're funding Hamas. We know they're funding Hezbollah. We know they're funding the Houthis. We know the best way to get to them is to dry them up financially. So Trump comes in and he has the guts and the vision to actually put bone crushing sanctions on Iran. We see that drying their oil revenues up to $7 billion. Now, let's look at this, a stark contrast to what we're seeing out of the Biden administration, where now Iran has oil revenues of $80 billion. What do you think they are doing with that money? I will tell you, they are funding more terrorism, and they are looking for more ways to increase nuclear proliferation, and it is completely and totally unacceptable. It is completely and totally foreseeable, and this is why we need a leader back in the White House. We've got to get Trump back in there. He understands peace through strength, and he also understands standing with our allies.
All right, Senator, I know you have to go. Thank you for all you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job, and you're making a difference. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, and please keep telling this story. We've got to make sure that we stand with Israel and we defeat Hamas.
You bet. God bless you. Take care. See? A senator like that gives me hope. Now, we have some NBC news. I don't know if it's accurate or not. I'll just tell you that Marco Rubio is on the list to be vice president, Mr. Producer. I think he'd be great. Now, here's the problem. For reasons I cannot even fathom, let's give it a test. Would you invite Marco Rubio on the show, Mr. Producer, next week, any day in the third hour? Any day in the third hour, Marco Rubio. Let me put this to the test. Let's see what happens. You know, they have two great senators, an absolutely fantastic governor in Florida, no question about it. But we'd love to have a chat with Marco Rubio. All friendly. He's been doing a great job up there. I don't know what the problem is. Little old me. Doesn't he know I'm worth $50 million, Mr. Producer? I mean, $50 million. I just found this out from the grifter on the Five Yentas on The View. And she found it out on a website. And I'm going to send that to my accountant, America. And I'm going to demand to know where the hell is my $50 million. But I'm $50 million now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you think all these discussions we have are esoteric, maybe, and they don't really affect your life? Every damn one of them does. The government that has the power to tell you what kind of toaster or light bulb you can have in your house has the power to do any damn thing it wants. Those of you who have automobiles, you already think it's expensive. Those of you who are thinking of buying automobiles, you want nothing to do with the electric. You know they're dangerous. You know that they emit toxic pollution. You know that sometimes they blow up. You know in freezing temperatures, they freeze up. The battery frees up. There's no place to plug in. You know, particularly in dense areas, that it is impossible to have enough of these charging stations for the inner cities. And I could go on and on and on. And the drag and the drag. And the electrical grid already is beyond its ability to provide the kind of electricity that's needed. Now imagine what happens here. Remember, these people are incompetent, they're stubborn, they're ideological, they're a disaster. Whether it's the border, whether it's undermining Israel, whether it's the economy, these people, and yet this is what they're about to do. Where in the Constitution does a president have the power to ban products? Where in the Constitution does the president have the power to force you to buy certain products? This is the convoluted nature that they've turned the Commerce Clause into the No Commerce Clause, the Chevron decision, where they have the Supreme Court given enormous powers to the executive branch to regulate every aspect of your life. None of this is in the Constitution, none of it. Outlaw your car, writes PJ Media, sounds like such an outrageous phrase, and technically speaking, it isn't true, but only barely. What practical difference is there between outlawing something and regulating it out of existence? That's what they're doing. That's what the EPA intends to do this week with strict new rules going forward against gas, and diesel-powered cars and light trucks. Oh, they'll get to you 18-wheelers. Expected as soon as Wednesday, by my calculation, that's today. The Biden EPA is poised to finalize emissions rules that will effectively require certain percentages, as much as two-thirds by 2032, 7.5 years, of new cars to be all electric, according to Inside EVs. Politico sells the expected rule as one that would, quote, tackle the nation's biggest source of planet-warming pollution and accelerate the transition to electric vehicles. Now, two things. The biggest source of warming pollution is the left and their big friggin' mouths. That's number one. Number two, look at all this. Look how they've worked decades for this. Global cooling, global heating, climate change, regulating the water, regulating the air, well beyond anything that is even imaginable. To regulating your lifestyle, to regulating the products in your home, to regulating your vehicle, to regulating your choices. Only when it comes to abortion do you have a choice. When it comes to air conditioning units, HVAC systems, toasters, light bulbs, dishwashers, washing machines, dryers, lawnmowers, they go through the list of every household product, everything that you use to have a decent lifestyle, and they are regulating them. The rule would require car makers to cut their average emissions of carbon dioxide by 52% between 2027, 2.5 years from now, and 2032. EPA projects that the standard would push the car industry to ensure that electric cars and light trucks make up 67% of new vehicles by model year 2032. Now, this is going to drive up the price of non-EV vehicles through the roof and make them absolutely unaffordable for Mr. and Mrs. America. This is Marxist socialist industrial policy that fails everywhere. And of course, they're going to destroy your ability to live the kind of life you want, and it never ends. I'm going to make a prediction. For 50 years from now, I'll put my marker down, and the miscreants in the Democrat Party media will think it's funny. But we don't give a damn what they think anyway. At some point, they're going to point to humans themselves as the greatest polluter, both in terms of the way you live and what you emit. And I believe at some point in the future, because this is the logical transition all the way down the line through tyranny and totalitarianism, at some point in the future, there will be limits on the number of children you can have, and if you violate those limits, you will be taxed for it. Mark my word, write it down right now, not that it'll matter, let people laugh at it. Same people who promoted eugenics, same people promoting abortion on demand. I'm telling you, that is what's going to happen. Because then they have complete control over you. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Mr. Producer, we have time for a call, and if so, to whom shall I speak? Yes. Yes. WLS? Todd in Wisconsin? Nah, it's not WLS. Anyway, Todd in Wisconsin, how are you? W-I-S. Well, WLS, it could be. That's Chicago. You're right. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm catching LS out of Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
And you are the greatest ever for We the People. I listen to you often.
Thank you, sir. I don't know about that.
I worry about this country.
Yes.
And I find it ironic that you're talking about, you know, your peer talk promo before you speak to me, because I'm actually the AT&T E-rate whistleblower.
Ah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I see this crazy stuff going on throughout the country. My question is, are we even going to make it to election day? Are they going to come up with something where we don't even get the vote?
No, I think we'll make it to Election Day. But if they win, they're going to make permanent every damage, every destruction that they've created. and they will double down, and it'll be almost impossible to stop it. I'm just being honest. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, freedom fighters all over the world, our friends in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Israel. We have your back. And most of all, we, the American people, I salute each and every one of you, and I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.